Good morning. Welcome to Sacramento Central Study Hour. We're so very thankful that you have decided to join us this morning. Before we start our speaking presentation, we're going to sing a few songs. Our first song is 317, Lead Me to Calvary, and we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Bahamas. Thank you, David, for sending that in for us. If you have any requests that you'd like to send in, you can go to our website at saccentral.org, select the Contact Us drop-down, and send in your CSH hymn request there. Our next song is also sent in from David. David, thank you so much. Our song is number 288, I Am Going to Calvary, verses 1, 2, and 3. This morning is Bona Purpa, and he is going to be presenting our lesson today called number 6, The Enemy Within. Please bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given to us. I ask that you bless us this morning and open our ears as we listen to the word that is spoken to Bona through you. Thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, happy Sabbath for those who's joining in sanctuary, and then for those who's joining from all across the globe, wherever you are. We are beginning the Sabbath school study, lesson number 6. If you'd like to have the presentation, we are happy to send you the CD or DVD, and please mention offer C202545. Once again, offer C202545, or you can also call us at 916-457-6511, or you can write us or email us at csh@saccentral.org. And we'll be happy to send out to you all the Bible study presentation for today. This Sabbath, we are discussing lesson number 6. Lesson number 6, it's still the continuation learning about Joshua. And the title is The Enemy Within. We are going to dig deeper in the next 50 minutes. What is the main lessons from, what is the meaning of this enemy within? Do we have enemy inside our church or inside our household? So we will be discussing that. Brothers and sisters, victory isn't lost because of the strength of our enemies. It's lost when the enemy lives within. Before the walls of Jericho ever fall, Israel's hearts were surrendered to God. But by the time they reach Ai, something shifted. The problem wasn't outside their camp. It was buried inside their tents. This is the story of the enemy within. You can see that in the slide there. A story that mirrors our own. It's not about ancient battles, but about the daily war between pride and humility, obedience and compromise, faith and self-reliance. Brothers and sisters, Joshua's journey reminds us that God's people can't walk in victory while harboring what he has forbidden. But the beauty of this lesson, this Sabbath, is that even when God's people fall, his grace still reaches down. Not to condemn, however, but to restore. Yeah. Through this lesson, we will be discussing and we'll see that sin may break the covenant. Excuse me. But repentance rebuilds it. Failure may knock us down, but God's mercy lifts us higher than before. Because the true enemy isn't the one outside our walls, it's the one that whispers, "Hide it. No one will know." Yeah. "Hide it. No one will know." That rings in our mind, whispering that. And to that whisper, God still calls, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And we'll be transitioning to Sunday. Yeah, Sunday lesson. The title for Sunday is Breach of the Covenant. What does it mean by breach the covenant? I try to project the lessons there. Maybe it's a little too small. And then on the left is the actual snapshot of the lessons. As you can see in the screen on the right side, it's somewhat the summary of the Sunday lesson. Hopefully we can read it. We can follow along. Yeah. Sunday, breach of the covenant. And Sunday lesson is taken from scripture reading from Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, and then continues by verse 11 up to 13. And the main theme to keep in mind, the main theme of this Sunday lesson is that disobedience and pride are spiritual blinders that make even small battles impossible to win. Dear beloved, have you ever felt on top of the world only to watch everything fall apart? Quite frankly, this is what happened with Israel in this story, in lesson on Sunday. After Jericho's great victory, they faced tiny little Ai and were crushed in defeat. Yeah. And the Israelites couldn't understand why. That's the big question. They can't understand why. They still had God's name, but not his favor. Because sometimes the real enemy isn't out there. It's the one hidden in the heart. And we'll go a little deeper as we proceed through the lesson. And the two major causes of this defeat, and you can see that the essence of the study, it's talking about the two major causes of the defeat. It explains why. The first one is Achan's sin. Yeah, Achan is devoted to destruction. Yeah, Achan secretly took what belonged to God. Yeah. And that was the spoils of Jericho. And that spoils of Jericho were set apart. It's supposed to be for destruction. No one should ever keep it. So that was the spoils of Jericho that they just conquered. And then he decided to keep it. Yeah. One man, we can see this. One man's secret sin broke the covenant for the entire nation. Yeah. Because one man's disobedience, the favor of God lifted. Yeah. And his personal sin became a national crisis. Somewhat we can see and relate that situation nowadays. Yeah. Sin is never truly private. To be honest, hidden sin may be buried inside the tent, but it poisons the whole camp, the whole group. And that was the first of the major causes of the defeat. Just keep in mind, Jericho was a huge win, but Ai was a tiny little village, I would say. They just conquered Jericho, but they just lost to a small village. And they were wondering why. And so that was the reason why. It's because of one of the members' sin. Yeah, Achan's sin. The second, the causes also Israel overconfidence. Yeah, Israel overconfidence. After winning the battle in Jericho, Israel become proud. Yeah, they did not pray. Yeah, they did not consult God. They thought, oh, we got this. Ai is just such a small village. I think we got this. We just conquered Jericho and a lot bigger than Ai. So they were overconfident. And that's exactly where pride leads us to underestimate ourselves and underestimate our need for God. Yeah. Friends, disobedience and pride, these are the two things. Yeah. Disobedience and pride, these are two spiritual blinders. Make even small battles impossible to win. That's the second one. The depth of the sin, layers of disobedience. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, and then continues by verse 11 to 13, Hebrew words describe how sin deepens when it's covered. Yeah, you can see that. I reflect that. There was a five there. A bar. Mean crossover or to transgress, lakach, to take what's forbidden, ganab, or meaning to steal, and kachash, meaning to deceive. And sim, to hide or to bury. And I want you to underline this, the pattern. And five of these is forming a pattern. Yeah. The pattern is that the line is cross the line. Yeah, the first one, cross the line. And then the second one, took. Yeah, the meaning of that word. And then stole, progressing. And then lied. And then the last progress into hid. Now, brothers and sisters, sin grows in layers. Yeah. Each act building a wall between us and God. So layer by layer, it becomes in between from us and God. And that's actually what is the meaning of that five words. Yeah. One at a time. Yeah. Cross the line. He crossed the line. And then he took, he stole, he lied, he hid. And that's five layers of barriers, like in between us and God. The longer it's hidden, the deeper the rot. Yeah, but here's the good news, though. No sin is too deep for God's grace if we are willing to bring it to light. Yeah. The covenant responsibility, we are all accountable. Yeah. God told Joshua, Israel has sinned. Yeah, they have transgressed my covenant. Notice that it says Israel has sinned. Yeah, it doesn't say Achan has sinned. Yeah, but it says, God says, Israel has sinned. Why? Because Achan was the one who stole that, who hid the items. Because in God's eye, his people are one body. When one suffers, all suffers. When one hides sin, the whole community loses blessing. The covenant between God and his people is both individual, also corporate. Yeah, that's what it means. So our holiness affecting each other. That's what it means from these lessons that I would like to reveal to all of us. Our holiness affects each other. Yeah. Our obedience strengthens the whole body. Application in today's world. Yeah. In our church, in our families, in our ministries, one person's hidden wrongdoing can affect everyone's witness. Amen, brother? Yeah. One person's hidden wrongdoing can affect everyone's witness. I think that's the main idea and theological lesson that the writer wants us to learn from Sunday lesson. That's why God calls his people not just to victory, but to integrity. Okay, we're going to move on. Modern application in our days is cleansing the camp. What can we do nowadays? Let's seal it in our heart, okay? We all have our Jericho victories. What does it mean by Jericho victories? Jericho victories in our personal life, in our families, in our church, is the moments when God moves mightily in our lives. Yeah? For example, we won like hundreds of souls after seminars. Or we just completed a huge project. Yeah, those are Jericho victories in our church, in terms of our church. In our personal life, you can implement that with so many applications in your personal life. Jericho victories, we all have so many of them. But what about I defeats? That's victories. What about I defeats? Jericho was the huge one. I is the small one. What about I defeats? Those moments when everything crumbles and we can't have the answer why. Yeah? Maybe, and this is just maybe, there is something hidden in the tent. Same as the lessons. Maybe there's something hidden inside the tent. It's possibly a habit. Maybe it was a grudge. Yeah? Or probably a secret compromise. Yeah? That we think it's small in our eyes, but in the eyes of God, it's heavy. Yeah. We might think it's a small thing, but for God, it's huge. Israel's defeat wasn't final, though. It was only a corrective. Yeah, it's only a corrective. God wasn't done with them. He was in the process of purifying them. God is in the process of purifying the Israel. Yeah, and then we're going to progress in the Sunday lesson. Heart of restoration. God's command was not to condemn Israel, but to restore the covenant. The word of God says, consecrate yourself. Yeah, he said, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Yeah. That's still his message up to today's world. Consecrate your heart. Consecrate your home. Consecrate your ministry. Don't hide what God wants to heal. Yeah. When confession replaces concealment, yeah, God's presence returns. And when his presence returns, victory will surely follow. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, maybe something hidden in our hearts is hindering our walk with God. Same as the Sunday's lesson. Unconfessed sin, probably. I hope I don't step on anyone. I'm trying to step on my own too, reflecting on mirror. Possibly unconfessed sin, possibly pride or self-reliance. But the same God who exposed Achan's sin is the same God who longs to cleanse ours as well. That is our hope, right? Let's not wait for defeat to bring us back to dependence. Yeah, let's come clean, come humble, and come home, back to God. When the covenant is restored, God's power surely returns. His favor flows, and his people rise again in victory. In this situation, Achan hid what was forbidden. But God never hides his mercy. Amen. May we never bury our sins deeper than his grace can reach. And may we walk humbly, stay faithful, and keep our covenant pure. Oh, that was Sunday lesson. Yeah, we're going to move on and progressing. Earlier, we saw how disobedience broke Israel's covenant and turned victory into defeat. But we will be transitioning on Monday lesson. We will look at closer, not just at the nation's fall, but at the heart of one's man's hidden sin. Yeah, because before there was a defeat on the battlefield, there was a compromise in the tent. Let's move on Monday. The title is The Sin of Achan. The Sin of Achan, yeah, that's the right side is the essence and summary. Left side, yeah, it's a little too small. So hopefully that gives a little picture of the study. And the scripture from this lesson is taken from Joshua chapter 7, verse 16 to 19. And keep in mind, the frame of this Monday lesson is that God's justice is patient and merciful. He invites repentance before he executes judgment. Have you ever tried to hide something? Yeah, thinking that no one would ever know. But then only for it come to light. Yeah. And that's actually what happened to Achan in Monday's lesson. Yeah. After Israel's defeat at Ai, God uncovered what was hidden. But keep in mind, not to humiliate, but to heal. Yeah. Because when God exposes sin, it's never to destroy us, but to redeem us. That's the big hope that we are holding on to. Yeah. God's method shows both justice and also mercy. Yeah. Notice how God handled Achan's sin. He didn't expose it immediately. Yeah, if you can see that in the lesson, you can follow along in your lesson. God did not expose the sin right away. Notice God gave time, yeah? Time for what? God gave us time for reflection, time for confession, time for repentance. Yeah, he did not expose immediately in that Monday study. Yeah, Joshua 7, verse 7 to 13 tells us that God gave Israel space to prepare their hearts before judgment. Yeah, he allowed Achan to think, to feel conviction and to repent. Yeah, this shows that God is both just and also merciful. Yeah, he doesn't rush to punish. Yeah, he doesn't rush. He patiently invites for repentance. Yeah. And the lesson we can draw from Monday is that God's mercy delays judgment. Yeah. Not to excuse sin, though, but to give us space to return back to him. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, maybe God is giving you that same grace today. Yeah. Time to make things right. Yeah. To confess what was hidden, to restore what's broken. And don't mistake his patience for absence. Some people might think his patience is an absence. I never see God. He never involved. No, that is part of his plan, his patience. His silence is often mercy in disguise. Yeah. Next, yeah, still on Monday's lesson. Yeah, God's procedure also tested the family. Yeah, Achan's family had a choice in that story. They could have confessed or separated themselves from his sin. But what happened? They didn't, yeah, in that study. This part of the story reminds us that family loyalty must never override loyalty to God's truth. Let me repeat that one more time. From Monday's lesson, we can draw that family loyalty must never override loyalty to God's truth. Yeah? It's never easy to stand for what's right when it means standing alone, isn't it? Never been easy. But sometimes love for truth requires courageous honesty. Yeah. Parents, spouses, children, our influence really matters. Yeah. When we tolerate what's wrong in the name of keeping peace, we actually lose that peace that comes from the obedience themselves. Yeah. And another lesson we can draw from Monday lesson is that loyalty to family must never outweigh loyalty to God. God has to come up first. Yeah. I think we can apply so many different lessons in our lives from Monday's lesson. Sometimes God calls us to be a voice of correction. Yeah, reminding, stepping toe maybe. Even when it's uncomfortable feeling, yeah. Because love that hides truth, guess what? Isn't love at all. It's quite actually a destruction. Watch how God works. He did not accuse everyone. Yeah, he narrowed it down. Yeah. As you can see in that lesson still, it goes on the nation, narrowed down to the tribe, narrowed down to the family, narrowed down to the household, narrowed down to individual. So you see that pattern in there, right? In that Monday's lesson. God's justice is careful. It's never careless. He doesn't guess. He knows. He knows everything. As written in Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Nothing is hidden from his eyes, not our actions, not our motives, not our hearts. And yet this isn't meant to terrify us, hopefully. It's meant to free us, the knowing of this lesson. Because when we live honestly before God, there's nothing left to fear. Yeah. God's justice clears the innocent and convicts the guilty. Yeah, perfectly and without any mistake. Brothers and sisters, if God knows everything about us and still loves us, then confession isn't defeat. Yeah, it's actually a freedom. Right? Hiding is quite exhausting, but honesty will bring peace. Yeah. What about Joshua's response? Yeah, leadership with compassion. Yeah. This is a lesson for us leaders in our own self, our home, our department, ministry. Finally, we'll move on to Joshua. Yeah. When Achan was found, Joshua didn't rage or humiliate him. He said gently, what does it say in Joshua 7, verse 19? Joshua says, my son. Yeah. You can see that in the Monday's lesson. He said, my son, that's what he said. Even in the moment of confrontation, there was still tenderness. Joshua's leadership reflect the heart of who? Reflect the heart of Christ. Yeah? Firm against sin, but gentle toward the sinner. Right? And Mrs. White wrote in Desire of Ages, page 353, Joshua's compassion foreshadowed the kindness of Jesus. Yeah, who never spoke a needless word, never gave a needless pain to a sensitive soul. Yeah. What are the lessons we can draw from this, from Monday? A true leader corrects with love, not cruelty. And that's from Joshua. He's a great leader. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Brothers and sisters, church, correction without compassion, it actually destroys. Right? You can probably see so many examples in our day's life in our church. But correction with love will redeem. That's how God's discipline. Not to shame us, but to shape us. Not to shame us, but to shape us. Yeah, that's from still from Monday lesson. Brothers and sisters, the story of Achan isn't just about judgment. It's about restoration. Yeah, God's desire is to purify his people and renew his covenant. Is there something hidden in our heart today? God already knows, for sure, right? But he's not waiting to expose ourselves. He's waiting to forgive us. Yeah? He's never been in his intentions to expose us, but he's waiting to forgive us. The same God who judged Achan is the same God who died on the cross to bear our sin and set us all free. Nothing is hidden from God's eyes, yet nothing can separate us from his love. Yeah. So let's research, evaluate our heart, look it in the spiritual mirror, look at ourselves, surrender what's hidden, and let his mercy make us whole again. Yeah. That's Monday. Yeah, we're gonna progress to Tuesday. Yeah, we already see Achan's story didn't begin with an act, it began with a choice. Yeah, it began with a choice. And like him, every one of us faces moments where desires battles conviction. Not on Tuesday, we'll see that we'll talk about the power of choices. Yeah. How one decision can open the door to destruction or to destiny. Yeah, that's Tuesday. Yeah. We already move on to Tuesday. Yeah. The title is Faithful Choices. Yeah, and Tuesday's lesson is taken from Joshua chapter 7, verse 19 to 21. And keep in mind, the lesson for Tuesday is within the frame or window that the sin of covetousness begins in the heart before it shows in our action. Just keep that in that frame, yeah? That's the theme for that Tuesday lesson. Every downfall begins with a single choice. Yeah. One small compromise, one, quote, mark, and quote, no one will know, can change everything. Yeah. And this is actually the story of Achan in Tuesday lesson. Yeah. One man's hidden greed turned blessing into what? Into defeat. Yeah. His story isn't just about punishment, but about choices and the heart behind them. Because God doesn't see what we do. Yeah? Because God doesn't just see what we do. He sees why we do it. The reason behind it. Yeah? When Achan was confronted, Joshua didn't yell or humiliate him. He said gently, my son, yeah, give glory to the Lord and make confession unto him. That's what Joshua says. Yeah, that's one proof of his great leadership. When Achan was confronted, he did not yell, he did not rebuke, he did not humiliate him, but he said, gently, my son, give glory to the Lord and make confession unto him. And Joshua's appeal wasn't for drama. Yeah, it was for truth. To give glory to God meant to be honest before him. That's what it means. To acknowledge his justice and also God's authority. Yeah. The lesson we can draw from this is that confession gives glory to God because it shows honesty and respect for his truth. Brothers and sisters, every time we tell the truth, even when it costs us, know that it glorifies God. Yeah, it might cost us something. Yeah, they might not like us, but remember that it glorifies God. Yeah, because the truth, no matter how painful, always honors him more than a well-polished lie. Right? Sadly, Achan's word revealed exposure, not repentance. Yeah. He admitted guilt, but not from a changed heart. Now, we can see that little more detail in this study on last Tuesday. He admitted guilt, but not from a changed heart. Yeah. He was caught, but he was not convicted. See the difference there, yeah? There's a big difference between, I'm sorry I got caught, and from, I'm sorry I broke God's heart. It's a big difference, those two statements. Yeah, I'm sorry I got caught versus I'm sorry I broke God's heart. Yeah. True confession doesn't just clear your name, it cleans our soul. And the lesson we can draw from this is that sorry, saying sorry without repentance, do you think it's a confession? It's just an exposure, simply an exposure. It's not a confession to God, right? Beloved, God doesn't want rehearsed apologies like the written or printed credo. Yeah? God doesn't want rehearsed apologies. He wants real repentance comes from your heart. He wants us to stop hiding, stop pretending, and to let grace do what guilt never can, yeah? Which transforms us from the inside out. Have you noticed how sin follows the same old pattern since Eden? Yeah, in the lesson it gives a comparison there. Yeah, from Eden. Yeah, in Genesis 3, Eve saw the fruit, desired it, and took it. Yeah, there's a table right there on that item 3. Yeah, Eve saw, desired it, and took it. Yeah, and the same steps happening in this study. Yeah, see, in Joshua chapter 7, yeah, Achan saw the mantle, desired it, and took it. Exactly the same pattern of the fall of Eve in the Garden of Eden with the Achan. Achan saw the mantle, he desired it, and he took it. Same steps, same fall. See, covet, take, and fall. Yeah, that same pattern, yeah. Brothers and sisters, sin always starts in the eye, travels unto the heart, and ends in the hand. Yeah, in actions. What lesson can we draw from this? The sin of covetousness begins in the heart before it shows in our action. That's why Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Because if the heart stays pure, then what happened? The hand stays clean. Yeah. Achan's real problem wasn't stealing, actually. It's actually coveting. Yeah. Covetousness says, God, what you gave me isn't enough. That's actually what covetousness says. It's not just greed, but it's actually rooted in distrust. God, what you gave me isn't enough. I'm paraphrasing like that. Yeah. When we covet, we are saying that God has failed to provide us. And that, friends, is unbelief wrapped in material desire. Yeah. Coveting reveals distrust in God's goodness. If you believe God is good, you don't have to grab what he hasn't given. Because everything that truly yours will come in his own time. Not through your taking, but through his giving. Yeah, that's the difference, yeah? Not through your action by taking it, but through his giving his own time. Yeah. Let's compare two people in Joshua's story. Yeah. In this Joshua story, talking about on the previous one, Rahab and also Achan. It's also still mentioned in Tuesday's lesson. Yeah. Rahab hid the spies while Achan hid forbidden treasures. Yeah, that's the comparison. That's the second table in the bottom there. Rahab acted in faith while Achan acted in greed. Yeah. Rahab's household was saved. In the meantime, Achan's household was destroyed. Yeah. Rahab joined the covenant. Achan broke it. Yeah. Two people, two choices, two different outcomes. Yeah. And the lesson we can draw from this is that choices driven by faith brings life. Choices driven by greed brings destruction. Brothers and sisters, every day we stand at the crossroads, every single minute of our lives, faith or greed, trust or control, obedience or self-will. And what we choose doesn't just shape our destiny, it shaped generations after us. Yeah? Picture Achan that night. Yeah? Imagine Achan that night, digging a hole, hiding what he thought no one would find. Hiding under his tent. But the ground that hid his sin became the ground of his own judgment. Yeah. What's buried in your tent today? Application for us. What's buried in your tent today? Possibly a secret resentment, a quiet compromise, or a hidden greed. God doesn't expose sin to shame us. Yeah. He exposed it to heal us. Keep that in mind. The longer we hide it, the deeper it buries us. Yeah. Let's look at with the spiritual mirror and reflect and evaluate ourselves. Today, he invites us to choose differently. Not like Achan, but like who? Like Rahab. Yeah. To act in faith, not in fear. To trust his goodness, to chase what, not to chase what glitters, I would say. Yeah. Because everything that shines isn't always gold. Yeah. And everything God gives is always better than what sin ever promises. Better to have a clean heart than a full hand. I think that's the golden principle, right? That's Tuesday. Let's move on. Time is ticking. We already see that though sin brought Israel to their knees, God didn't leave them in defeat. Yeah. Because grace always writes a second chapter. What hides behind it. Yeah, on Wednesday, we'll see that God turned the valley of trouble into a doorway of hope, providing that his mercy is stronger than our mistake. Therefore, the title is The Door of Hope on Wednesday. Yeah, and it's scripture taken from Joshua chapter 8, verse 1 to 29. And again, I point out the theme of this lesson is that God can redeem our worst failures and transform them into new beginnings, new chapters. Yeah? Brothers and sisters, have you ever felt crushed by failures in your life? Yeah? Convinced there's no way back? That's where Israel stood after their defeat at Ai. Yeah? Earlier I mentioned the win with Jericho is a big win, but Ai is just a small village. They win big, but they lose with the small village, and they couldn't answer why. Yeah, that's where Israel stood after they defeated Ai. But God doesn't end stories in failure, brothers and sisters. He rewrites them in grace. The very valley of trouble became their door of hope. And this is a proof that God can turn our deepest defeat into a new beginning. Yeah, God didn't throw Israel away after their failure. He restores them. He took what was meant for shame and turned into a strategy. Yeah. Their first defeat became a divine classroom, a lesson learned. Yeah, trial and error. Yeah. That Israel learned humility, dependence, and the importance of obedience. And we can see from Wednesday lesson that God often lets us fail in our lives. But the point is not to destroy us, but to teach us to lean on him more deeply. And he said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And this is from Joshua 8, verse 1. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. Yeah. God was saying, get up. I am not finished with you. Brothers and sisters, God's mercy doesn't end at your last mistake. It actually begins there. If you ever committed a big, big mistake in your life, it begins there. Yeah, it's not the end. This time, Israel did not rush ahead in pride. They followed God's new plan carefully. Yeah, 30,000 soldiers hid behind the city. The rest pretended to flee like before. When Ai's army chased them, the hidden troops entered the city and set it on fire. The very thing that once brought them defeat, their flight from battle became the key to their victory again. Yeah, the lesson. God often uses our past failures to create wisdom for future victories. Amen for that. Our past failures become a wisdom for future victories. That's how grace works. God doesn't erase our past. He redeems it. Our scars become the blueprint for someone else's healing. Let's be clear on this. Yeah, it wasn't Israel's clever plan or military might that brought success in that story. Joshua chapter 8, 7 makes it clear. Yeah. See, I have delivered it into your hand. That's the statement, yeah? Victory didn't come from Joshua's hand. It came through it. The power was God all along. Yeah, the source of the power was from God. Yeah, human strategy at its place, but the outcome always rests in God's hands. Yeah, the lesson we can draw is that human strategy may be part of God's plan, but the outcome is always in God's hands. Yeah. So whenever we succeed, don't forget who made it possible. Yeah. When you win a battle, when you get promoted, when you landed a new job, your dream job, yeah, give glory where it belongs. To the one who fought beside you. Joshua held up a sickle sword, yeah, in that lesson still, a symbol of authority and divine leadership. Just as Moses once lifted his staff, remember the story? When he stretched it toward Ai, it wasn't a gesture of pride, but it was a gesture of surrender, yeah, a declaration that the battle belonged to God. This act revealed two vital truths, brothers and sisters. First one is faith in God's promise. And the second, leadership under divine authority. A lot of times nowadays, leadership not under divine authority, but under their own mindset. Yeah, not under divine authority. The lesson we can learn, God confirms leadership through obedience, not through position or power. Yeah, God isn't looking for strong leaders. He's looking for surrendered ones. The moment we raise our own hands in pride, we lose power. Yeah, but when we lift our hands in faith, heaven surely fight for us. Unlike Jericho, there was no collapsing walls this time. No trumpets, no angelic army. Just faith, obedience, and perseverance. Yet the victory was just as divine, same as Jericho. God was showing Israel and showing us also that success in his work doesn't always require dramatic miracles. That's another lesson we can draw. Yeah, a lot of us putting our faith based on miracles in our lives. The lesson the author wants us to see that doesn't always dramatic miracles. Yeah, sometimes the greatest miracle is quiet faithfulness. Doing the right thing when no one's watching. Trusting God when there's no visible sign. Yeah. True success comes from trusting and obeying God's word. not relying on visible miracles. Yeah, those are a little bit misconception. You don't need fire from heaven to know he's with you, right? Sometimes all you need is whispered, go again. And that's faith, steady, simple, and steadfast. Yeah. Let's move on. We're already on Wednesday. Let's move on Thursday. Yeah. All right. So Israel rose again still on Wednesday, not just to fight another battle, but to live for a greater purpose. Their comeback wasn't about military victory. It was about spiritual testimony. Yeah. So, and Thursday, we'll move on. Yeah, it's already on Tuesday. We'll see how God's restored people became a living witness to his power before the world. Yeah. Therefore, the title, A Witness to God's Power. Yeah. Joshua, the fearless leader, lay face down before God after Israel's crushing defeat at Ai. Face down. The same man who saw Jericho's wall fall down now wrestled with confusion and pain. Why? Lord, why? He cried. Yeah. And isn't that where we often find ourselves, faithful yet broken by life's setbacks? Even strong believers face moments of doubts in our lives, but true faith doesn't walk away. It falls before God. Yeah, trusting even when it can't understand it. In verse 9, yeah, Joshua's prayer shifted. Yeah. What will you do for your great name? That's the question. Joshua's grief moved from self-pity to God's glory. Yeah. He stopped asking, what about me? And started asking, what about you, Lord? Yeah, that's spiritual maturity right there. It's one thing to cry out about your pain. It's another to care about God's name in your pain. And the lesson we can learn from this Thursday is that Joshua's prayer shows deep maturity. He cared more about God's glory than his own reputation. Yeah, the true mark of faith isn't how loud we shout in victory. It's how we respond in actual defeat. Joshua didn't ask for personal vindication. He asked that God's name wouldn't be mocked among the nation. Yeah. And here's the principle. God's reputation is tied to his people's obedience. When Israel walked in faith, the nation saw his power. When Israel fell into sin, the nation doubted his strength. And the same is true for us. Our lives, our words, our characters, our decisions are living testimonies to the God we serve, right? Whether we realize it or not, the world reads God through our behavior. Yeah. God's people are his representatives. Our obedience or failure affects how the world perceives him. Yeah. God didn't just call Israel to conquer nations. He called them to witness to nations. Their victories were meant to reveal his faithfulness. Their obedience was meant to show his holiness. Yeah. And remember the story of Rahab in Jericho? She believed because she heard what God did for Israel. One woman's faith was born from another nation's obedience. And now, brothers and sisters, we stand in that same place. Yeah. Our neighborhoods, our workplace, our families are our Jericho walls. Yeah. People are watching. Yeah. Not to see our perfection, but to see our perseverance, humility, and grace. Yeah. So, and then another lesson we can draw before we conclude. Just as Israel was called to display God's glory to the nations, we are called to reflect his character in our communities. The question is, what do people learn about God when they look at us? Yeah. Deuteronomy 4 verse 6 says, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Yeah. Hopefully we can be reflecting just like that. Yeah. As we close this week's lesson, we've walked from defeat to deliverance, from the valley of trouble to the door of hope. We've seen how sin, when buried, poisons the whole camp, but when confessed, opens the floodgates of grace. We've seen that the same God who exposed Achan's failure also empowered Joshua's comeback. Tonight, today, this Sabbath, the question isn't what's in Achan's tent, actually, what's in mine? What's in my tent? What's in your tent? Yeah? Did you hide anything? Maybe it's quite pride. Maybe it's a private struggle of yours. Maybe it's a hidden hurt. But God doesn't expose us to shame us. Remember that. He exposed to heal us. Because the ground that once held our guilt can become the place of our redemption. If your heart was wandered, hear his voice today. Get up, consecrate yourself. I am not finished with you yet. So brothers and sisters, if you would like to have our presentation this Sabbath on Bible study, lesson number 6, please write us at csh@sexcentral.org, or you can call us at 916-457-6511. And you're requesting CD or DVD, please be specified, and mention offer C202545. And take note, next Sabbath, lesson number 7. The title is Ultimate Loyalty, yeah, Worship in a War Zone, yeah. And Dr. Wesney unpacks how true worship thrives even in the midst of spiritual warfare. So stay tuned, stay study. Dr. Wesney will present that title, Discover How Faith, Focus, and Fortitude Can Anchor Your Heart When Life Feels Like a Battlefield. Before the deacon collecting the offering, let's bow our head for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the holy hour that we are connecting our mind to you, Lord, in worship and adoration and Bible study. We pray that the pearls of truth that we already learned this Sabbath, please give us strength to apply them in our lives, Lord, so that we learn from today's lesson everything. The beautiful lessons, let not pass our minds, that it stays in our heart and soul, and also fruitful in our spiritual life, that all our neighbors can see Jesus in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.